Once upon a time, the Cowlitz Indian Tribe controlled almost 2 million acres of land. It stretched from Oregon all the way up to modern-day Pierce County. But in the 19th century, as white settlers started to move into our region, the U.S. government seized traditional tribal lands and gave it to those settlers. The Cowlitz didn't even get their own reservation. The feds told them they had to share with the Quinault tribe. Last month, the Bureau of Indian Affairs finally put 152 acres into trust for the Cowlitz, and tribal leaders celebrated this. Christine Dupree is a member of the Cowlitz tribe. She's just published a book called Being Cowlitz, How One Tribe Renewed and Sustained Its Identity. Growing up, Dupree knew she was Cowlitz, but
the tribe didn't have a land base, so a place to go and fish, let's say, or a place to go and basket weave in common at a community center, those things were harder to find. And my family, though they felt and identified as Cowlitz, really didn't demonstrate through Lifeways what it meant to be a Cowlitz person or speak about Indian identity. I mean, that would have been a little bit strange, right? Mm. But since we weren't on the land, it's harder to feel that attachment to tribe. And even harder when the tribe itself, it gets together most often a couple times a year for political events like tribal general council.
And at some point, you made a very conscious choice to attend the political events, to integrate yourself into the group of people who were actively Cowlitz. So why did you make that choice?
I felt really pulled to remember for my family what it meant to be a Cowlitz person. I didn't want to see that identity and that cultural continuity disintegrate. And so at a fairly young age, I enrolled myself and then started going to the political meetings where I could meet other Cowlitz people, where I could get involved. I joined the cultural committee, the education committee, and in that way began to sort of throw a wider net, both of understanding and a wider net of community and relationship.
How welcoming were the tribal elders when you made that conscious choice?
The tribal elders were quite warm and quite welcoming. And I think of John Barnett, who was longtime chairman of the Cowlitz tribe and is now deceased. But at the time, I was a young person, and he pretty much took me under his wing and said, if you're interested, there are so many ways to get involved. Here are a few, and please do. So he was deeply encouraging. And then having joined and in participating, I did meet folks who just welcomed me with open arms. And I felt that I belonged, and I felt a strong and palpable sense of, I think, both family and community. I saw folks who looked like me and who grew up in similar ways. It was like finding or relearning a language you had learned quite young and then lost and then regained again.
I'm talking to Christine Dupree. She's a scholar and a member of the Cowlitz tribe, and she's just published a book called Being Cowlitz. I know that you did a tremendous amount of research over the years that you spent getting things together for this book. And you write that ultimately, you came back to two elders and the oral histories, the stories, the conversations that you had with them. What was it about those particular conversations that trumped everything else that you'd been doing that were so important?
The reliable documented accounts were few or outdated, and I found that I couldn't lean on primary source material to create the argument that I wanted. And furthermore, I valued the opinions and lived experience of the Cowlitz people whom I interviewed. First-person narratives among a community and a people are compelling, and people carry history in their bodies and their minds in a way that you won't know unless you ask. It's very rich. So that's why I went that route. I considered the authority of the human experience to be the authority that trumped most everything else.
You did get the information ultimately that you wanted, but what else did you take away from those conversations?
I think that as I learned more from these two leaders with whom I had close relationship, and as I learned more about the tribe, that I began to filter my own experience through that new information that I received. And I discovered that how I had been raised and, you know, what I had learned to do had a context and had meaning. And then what the elders and the Cowlitz leaders taught me, simply put, is that I did belong and that I did have a place among my people and within this history. They also taught me a lot about endurance, persistence, intelligence, against odds. This is not just a heroic narrative. This is the narrative of so many Native people that they struggle against innumerable odds, and they're still coming through. Tribes in the United States are more powerful than ever before in both urban and rural areas. So they taught me that you can, you know, get up every day and fight a good fight.
Christine Dupree is a member of the Cowlitz tribe. She's just published a book. It's called Being Cowlitz, How One Tribe Renewed and Sustained Its Identity.